It's time for Mac Geek Gab, and listener Elliot brings us our quick tip of the week with, do you want your name or any other custom text at the bottom of the lock screen on your iPhone? Just set up a new focus mode without any settings changes in it, but give the focus mode your name. Choose an icon and then turn on that focus mode and the text will be there. More tips like this, plus your questions answered today on Mac Geek Gab number 1078 for Monday, February 24th, 2025.
Welcome to Mac Geek Gab, the show where we share your quick tips like that, sometimes our quick tips like that, your cool stuff found, sometimes ours, and your questions with sometimes, hopefully many of the times, our answers. Because the goal is for each of us to learn at least five new things every single time we get together. Our sponsor for this episode is Otherworld Computing at MacSales.com with their new Thunderbolt 5 hub. And while we're talking about sponsors, which we'll talk about in a little bit, while we're talking about sponsors, I wanted to share that a longtime sponsor, Factor, is running a special this month that we're all taking part in and really trying to kind of like push things for them. Factormeals.com, that's where you go. Promo code FactorPodcast. You'll probably hear this on other shows too. Make sure you use that, and that'll help us all out in the grand scheme of things. So we will certainly all do that. For now, here on National Tortilla Chip Day, I'm Dave Hamilton in Durham, New Hampshire.
And here in South Dakota, I'm Adam Christensen.
And here in New Hampshire also is Pilot Pete, where 1078, what an apropos code for this week, means need assistance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Code 1078.
Yeah.
I need assistance getting some tortilla chips and we'll be good to go.
And maybe answering some tech questions and sharing some quick tips and all the things. Love it.
I definitely need tech assistance. Always do.
Same. I got to figure out what's going on with the audio here in my setup. I've got, you guys are aware of this and people that show up for the pre-show are aware of this. Nothing changed, I swear. I know that's not true. But starting about 2 months ago, I started having weird crackly sounds. You'll hear it creep into the show every now and then. And then I change the sample, the buffer size, and it fixes it. It sounds like a mismatch of the audio sample rate, but I have everything running at 44.1. It happens with only my signal. So it's only my only microphones in this room. So things coming through my hardware interface, which is the Thunderbolt Presonus Quantum 2626. As I'm saying this out loud, I need to reach out to Presonus because I've tried troubleshooting this on my own and maybe they have some ideas. But yeah, it's weird. I don't know. How about we do some quick tips, shall we?
Let's do it.
I don't think we said hi to Adam yet, though. Did we?
Good morning, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, hello.
Hey,
I introduced myself at least.
You did. I know. We just got rambling here. I'm out of sorts today. I don't know. It's been a crazy week.
Yeah.
It's all fine.
I'm with you.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to quick tips. That's something we think we know how to do. At least it will feel comfortable. Mark says, hello to my longtime and most favorite podcasters in the tech world. Hello to our longtime and most favorite listeners in the podcast world. This is amazing. I have a tip regarding the Apple Home app. I just noticed that in the current Apple Home app, when you go into settings, hubs and bridges, I am able to turn off automatic selection and manually select my preferred home hub. Previously, it was always something auto-selected if I had more than one device that could be a home hub, and sometimes it would pick the wrong thing. It would always favor our oldest OG HomePods or luck of the draw. I'm now able to select a newer HomePod mini manually that is located in a very central part of our home in the living room. It seems that this is a more logical selection, or at least any HomePod other than those two OGs that were the original HomePods that Apple came out with. Thank you for everything you do. Thanks for sharing this, Mark. I would have sworn we mentioned this on the show when iOS 18, I believe it was iOS 18 that added the ability to manually select a home hub. But because I was excited about it, and maybe we mentioned it in passing over the summer when the betas were kind of floating around. But yes, if you have more than one Apple TV or an Apple TV and a HomePod, this is a great thing. I have two Apple TVs. Both think they're connected via Ethernet. One is actually connected via Ethernet that's plugged into a MoCA adapter. And so that's Ethernet over coax. It works great, but it's not the one that I want to have as my home hub. And I love being able to now set the right one. So thank you for sharing that, Mark. Great, great stuff. Pete?
Very cool. So, you know, it's often said, especially in court, never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. And because we briefly discussed this pre-show, I kind of already know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Dave.
Yes.
Adam, did you know you can run more than one command at a time in Terminal? I was blown away. So I needed to resize several files. And I asked ChatGPT, hey, is there a way to do this in Terminal rather than going in, grabbing the mouse, right-clicking, opening it, resizing, yada, yada. Turns out there's a SIPS command, which is a scriptable, scriptable image processing system, which allows you to resize images. And I said, well, I want to resize it to these. And it gave me 10 commands all in one copy window. I copied it, threw it into Terminal, and with 10 commands at once, resized 10 images. I was blown away by it. So, but you said, well, there's other ways to do that. So clearly you both knew that there's ways to run multiple commands in Terminal at the same time.
This would not have run them at the same time, pasting them in.
Well, it is sequentially.
Sequentially.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you can enter the commands all at once.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yep. You want to tell him, Dave, or should I?
Go ahead, Adam. No, you take this, please. I do enough of this.
I'll be back in 10 minutes. Go ahead.
No.
Lecture me.
There's about three other ways that I'm aware of. So another way you can do this is after each command, you put a semicolon at the end to indicate that you've ended that command, and then you do the next one. So you can have this all on one line. I think you pasted it in with carriage returns, and you had multiple things. You can use double ampersands to separate your commands. So ampersand, ampersand. And you can also use double pipes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Be careful. Be careful to use double pipes and not single pipes. Otherwise, the output of
you're piping your output.
A single pipe means take the output of the first command and funnel it into the next one. And that might be interesting. I don't know. Double ampersands will do exactly as you said, as I remember, Adam. A single ampersand after each one, though, will background that task and then start the next one immediately. So if you were to do 100 of these and didn't want to have it happen sequentially, if you wanted it to happen in parallel, I'm pretty sure putting single ampersands and then a carriage return at the end of each one would do that. If you do a command on the terminal and put an ampersand, a space, and then ampersand at the end and hit return, you will get a terminal prompt back after it tells you that it took that above task and backgrounded it. And then when it finishes, it unceremoniously but very interruptively just shows up in your terminal. It's like, hey, here's the result. Boom. it finished.
Okay.
In the case of like converting images, it just, you know, it tells you, oh yeah, that command's over now. But the single ampersand can be fun if you want to, you know, put something in the background. So
right.
Yeah.
And now, and call back to many, many shows back, we created that shortcut where you can hit return in Messages, and I think in ChatGPT, where if you hit return, you actually do just get the carriage return. I have to hit shift return in order to send it out. And now I've confused myself.
I had to turn that off, man. I had that.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because I couldn't suffer the
switching back and forth.
No, the errors that I was causing because I limited it to certain apps. It was like, okay, I want to do this in messages at first. And then it was like, well, it can't just be messages because now I'm retraining my brain. There's other apps that act the same way. And even with just messages, I was accidentally sending a message before I wanted to because my fingers still remembered to do shift return to put a carriage return in. Uh-huh. And it was like, yeah, you know what? I would have liked this years ago, but today is the wrong day to do this. What I needed to do was take the not just invert the functionality of return and shift return, but take whatever one it needed to be a multi-step process to retrain my brain. So if the end result was to flip them, what I would have had to do is take return and turn it into the shift return so that I'm just adding carriage return. So I'm not accidentally sending a message. At worst, I am just adding a return I didn't mean to add if I hit return to send a message and it switched. And then I would need to capture shift return and null that out so that no matter what I do, shift return doesn't have any function whatsoever. And then maybe do control return to send a message. And then that way I'm not making mistakes. I'm just training myself. I think that would be the way to do it.
Well, proves I'm trainable because I've got for ChatGPT and messages, and I've been loving the fact that it works that way well for me. So
you are very trainable. I give you a lot of guff about tech stuff. No, but I want to give you some praise. You are way more trainable than I am with stuff like this.
I'm humbled.
Your mind is like a sponge. You can just take in information. And yes, sometimes you pull up two pieces of unrelated information and find a way to relate them, and that's fun. But
that's what I do.
But like, you've always amazed me with that. So yeah.
No, thank you.
That is not meant to be a left-handed compliment in any way. This is 100% praise. Yes.
But I'm left-handed. Oh,
that is true. That is true. Yeah.
So before we move on, can I take a tip I think that was in the last episode and combine it with something that came up in this tip,
please?
So that I use all the time. So I think it was last episode or a couple episodes back, we were talking about PB copy command in the terminal, which copies things to the clipboard. So that single pipe Dave was talking about, where you can take the output of one command and push it into another command, I use this all the time. So if there's I'm doing a command and I know there's going to be a bunch of text output or something that I want on the clipboard, you run the command, you do that single pipe and then PB copy, and that'll take your output of your one command, put it right onto the clipboard, and then you can paste it.
Oh, or use it in a script.
Or use it in a script.
Yeah. Right. I like it. It's good. Yeah. Yeah, nice. I love all the things we learned. I had no idea. I learned about SIPs. If we talked about it before, I forgot it a long time ago. But this SIPS command that you ran to process images, I had no idea.
No idea. So slick. Yeah.
Huh.
Very cool.
Well, here's the thing about terminal commands is my understanding. Everything we do in the GUI, the graphical user interface, is essentially in one way or another a terminal command.
Yeah. Essentially.
So anything you can do is terminatable.
Yeah. I mean there are some
it's harder.
Well, some with many things. I mean there is no when we're using a web browser like Safari, there is no, it's not just running a terminal command to make that happen.
Fair enough.
That's happening in an app. Yeah. There are terminal web browsers that are not Safari, right? But so there are some things that truly are just happening in many things, in fact, that are truly just happening inside the Mac app. But the things we do in the Finder to move things around, compress files, rename files, that kind of stuff, all in the terminal. So yeah, sort of the basic fundamentals of the system, most of those are in the terminal, I think.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, I use Acorn for my image processing most of the time. And so I think when I resize an image, Acorn is somehow using the terminal commands in there. Not directly. But that's what the code, that's what the computer program code is doing. The machine code is. Is it not?
Well, I don't know how Gus, right? That's Augustus is the guy who writes Acorns, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know whether Acorns is a wrapper, you know, a graphical wrapper for a command like SIPS or even FFmpeg, which you can use to do MPEG.
Yeah.
Or if he's written his own image processing code.
I bet he has. It's powerful.
That lives only inside Acorns. So it could be one or the other. There are a lot of those commands, those like single purpose apps that we get, especially things that are freeware, like an app like Permute that converts all kinds of different things. My assumption is that one is leveraging SIPS and FFmpeg and, you know, all of those things. I could be wrong. They might have written their own stuff. Who knows? But there are a lot of graphical apps that'll do that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Which is cool. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to have something like Permute. I love that.
It's brilliant.
It is. Yeah, yeah. It's also part of setup.
Yep.
Yeah. Shall we move on? Speaking of our current ADD fest that we seem to be having here, ADD Todd has something to say.
Hi, Geek Gabbers. ADD Todd out of Utah here. Listening to the current edition of Mac Geek Gab on Tuesday, February 18th. AppleCare, in the system settings, are you one of the people who keep your system settings on the bar?
On the dock.
Right-click system settings, and because it opens larger than your window, usually, scroll up, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right there, 7 down from the top, AppleCare and warranty. Just a quick shortcut for getting to it instead of having to open the app and then go to general and AppleCare and warranty. Just thought you might like to know. Keep up the good work. Keep having fun. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ADD Todd. That is, I had no idea that was sitting right there in the right click on the dock icon of the system settings. Perfect way to get to those. Love it. Love it. Thank you, ADD Todd. Fun stuff. Love it.
Man, very, very cool.
Yep. Yep.
There you
go. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Keens writes in with a tip and says, love the show. I've got a quick tip to share. Once a year, take a moment to go through your iCloud storage and check for any leftover data from apps that you've deleted from your iPhone or Mac. Even if each app's data is just a few kilobytes, these small bits can add up over time. You can find this in iOS settings, your name, iCloud managed storage if you're on iOS, or on macOS, it's in system settings, Apple ID, iCloud, and I think storage, if I'm remembering right. A little digital housekeeping goes a long way in keeping iCloud storage optimized. Agree.
Yeah, that's smart. It is. There are things to go through. Yeah. I wonder. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, my big one is that I just checked this because I was like checking on how you do this on the Mac. It is in iCloud, and then I think you have to click manage on the storage area. So there's one extra click there. But I noticed that, like we talked about on a previous show, I'm almost at my 2 terabyte limit. 1.9 out of 2 Ooh. Terabytes. So yeah. I either need to do some house cleaning, although, as we talked about, this is mostly one of my lovely children's photo libraries, which is 3 times the size of all the storage everybody else in the family uses.
That's right. Yep. That's correct.
Just go delete all your photos. You'll have plenty of room.
No, Adam,
I need to delete her photo. I need to delete her photos, which I think I would be in very big trouble for. So
I was going to say, yeah, that'll make her happy.
Well, it really, it's fine. I don't know what your problem is. I have 1.67 terabytes free of iCloud storage on my family account because it says I'm only using 2.33 terabytes of my 4 terabytes, Adam. It's only money. We just have to send more of it to Apple. That's
well,
all.
No, we. I mean,
they are happy to take it.
I don't want to go down this rabbit hole again.
Again, yeah.
The issue is you had the ability to add, like, I would love to add just another 2 terabytes, but Apple seems to not want to allow me to do so.
It's so weird.
They want me to go to 6 or 12.
Yep.
And it's.
I don't know how I think I qualified for this because I added 0.2 terabytes to this plan when I was able to do that. And on that day, I could have added 0.5. And yeah. Then when it was time, I couldn't. So I know we've had this discussion recently enough not to have it again. So Andrew saves us from this. He says, last year I picked up a Beats Pill 2 for traveling, and it's great. Sounds fantastic. It's a little heavier and bulkier than a Sonos Roam, but sound quality-wise, worth it. It connects via Bluetooth, and as I discovered this week, another way, even though it doesn't have an aux input socket. On the weeks between travel, this speaker doesn't do much. Last week, I got a monitor that has adequate speakers for the basics, but for some longer sessions in front of the keyboard, I wanted something with a little better quality for music. I was Googling around for a small soundbar and thought, wait, can I connect my Beats Pill 2 to my Mac Mini? The Pill doesn't have an aux in, but Google Foo revealed that you can plug the Pill into your Mac or iPhone or iPad for a direct connection via USB-C. Also, it gets lossless music this way because it's not going through Bluetooth. There's an Apple support article that I followed, and it works just fine, and it is indeed listen with USB-C audio. You can connect your Beats Pill and other USB-C device with a USB-C to USB-C cable, listening to music, including lossless audio. That's makes sense. Nice. It's not just a charging port. Now, this might not be the case for every speaker that every Bluetooth speaker that has a USB-C port on it. Some of those might just be charging ports. However, it's worth trying it out because I bet Apple's not the only company that's making one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Move in there.
I mentioned the Roam, the Sonos Roam.
The Roam. That's yes. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yep. I thought you said Move. And so, okay. Never mind. I'm done now. I'm done talking now.
Okay. All right. Okay.
My point was that, the size of the original one was bigger, but I was thinking the original Move. Like, yeah, I'm not hauling that thing around for.
Oh, yeah, the Move is heavy. I mean, it's got a handle on it.
I'm not putting that in my suitcase.
Yeah. No, the Roam is a good speaker to travel with. I traveled with ours as my primary travel speaker for a very long time until it earned a home right by our sliding door to our patio where we put a hot tub a couple of years ago. And it is the perfect speaker to just grab on the way out the door. It charges with Qi. So on their little, Toblerone shaped charger or whatever. And I grab it. We walk out to the hot tub. I put it next to the thing. If it gets wet, if it falls in the water, it doesn't matter. It sounds great. It did fine in the snow and ice the other night. Like, it's all good. And it sounds good. And it's the A-Lady because we don't bring any other technology out. So I have a geek challenge, actually, this reminds me. So we don't bring our phones out to the hot tub usually. Often we don't even listen to music, but we will bring the speaker out just to be able to, like, hey, what time is it? You know, if we need to figure out, like, oh, and then our oven is quote unquote smart, so we can start the oven heating. It kills me that I have to use the term preheating. In order for the A-Lady function to do what it's supposed to do, because no one preheats anything. You just heat the oven. It just heats. That's all it does is it heats. But anyway, I digress. We can use it to preheat the oven, he says, as his body cringes. There are times, though, where I'm sitting in the hot tub and I think, oh, yeah, either alone or, Lisa and I'll be having a conversation. And I'm like, right, yeah, tomorrow I want to do a thing. And I want to I want to like flush that out of my brain so I can like enjoy relaxing in the hot tub. And the best way to flush that out of my brain is to effectively write it down. I don't have pen and paper. If I did, it'd be a mess. So
be soggy.
Yeah, it'd be soggy. So I need someone to help me avoid soggy paper by finding a way to link my I want to put this on my iCloud to-do list. That's the end goal. However, I'm flexible. I know that there is an A lady, the LXA to-do list that I can put things on. I just need to find a way to either sync that to BusyCal on my devices so that I'm seeing what I put on that list, because otherwise it just goes off into the ether forever, or a script that runs somewhere on the interwebs, you know, an IFT script or, you know, something like that, that takes any task I've added to my A-Lady to-do list and puts it on iCloud, Google Calendar. I don't care. Like, just something I can sync with BusyCal. And I've tried this. I thought I found a way. I thought I had it working, and it does not work. So,
what is the root problem again?
The root problem is...
You don't have your phone, you're in the hot
tub. Two lists.
I don't have my phone. Right. The root problem is the only list I've found that I can put things on with the A-Lady is the A-Lady list, and I don't have a way of integrating... I need to find a way of integrating that list with my calendar app that I use, which is BusyCal. So, you know, subscribing to that list or copying things from that list. And I thought I found a way with IFT, I'm pretty sure, but it doesn't work.
And this is because your Sonos will do A-Lady, but not S-Lady.
Correct. 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 Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
What if you had a portable speaker that would do S-Lady?
Right. I could do that. I could just buy a HomePod mini or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a HomePod mini battery.
Right. That's the problem. Yeah. Right. Right. Or, oh, yeah. That doesn't solve my problem. No.
How about creating an S-Lady reminder to go get your A-Lady list?
I mean, so that I already have. I have two weekly reminders. One is that. And the other is to go and look at my undated reminders on my iCloud list, because forget to say, hey, S-Lady, remind me. This is when I'm doing it with my phone. Hey, S-Lady, remind me. If I just say, remind me to call Pete, it doesn't. It just puts that as undated, which in my workflow is invisible to me. It has to be dated. Same. So I have to say, remind me today to call Pete, or remind me tomorrow. And I'm usually good about it, but there are moments where I forget. So I have a once a week thing to go and look at that, you know, that no man's land, the dead letter office, so to speak.
Yeah. That's actually pretty good tip.
there's a bonus quick tip. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Follow me for more quick. Wait, you already do. So
yeah.
I don't know where we're going with any of this. This is. This is fun, though.
You know what? I think we're going to go to Matt, because Matt wrote in. He says, hey, geeks. So after I changed all of the categories and list stuff in the iOS mail, which has been going on for a couple of weeks now here, if you're a regular listener, you'll know that. He says, my wife had another complaint about the new mail app. In addition, the addition of the icons beside each message. So if like the messages from Amazon, there's an Amazon logo to the left of the message. There's a lot of real estate there, and she found it annoying it took up that much space with these little icons. He says, I duck went and found this easy solution thanks to Lobster Ghost 1 in the Apple Community Forum. Open the settings app, scroll all the way down to the page to apps, tap that, and then look for the mail app. Open the mail app and turn off show contact photos. And they go away. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, yeah. Matt. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Matt, is how he signed it. So
if you listen to the last 3 weeks of Mac Geek Gab, you too can make mail in iOS 18 look like it used to in iOS 17.
Look like it should. That's like God like intended it should. It to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yipper. That's how we do
oh
it.
Oh, boy.
Todd has a tip for us to swipe right in Reminders on the Mac for a quickie. Wait, no, that's not what he said. He says, I use Reminders throughout each day. Some are on repeat. Some I add by Siri via CarPlay. I accidentally swiped right on my Mac on a reminder, and there were three options that I could snooze it to tomorrow. I could snooze it to this weekend or a specific date and time. I have been right-clicking to get to some of these for years, but swiping is so much easier. Not surprising, a swipe to the left and you get three other quick options: details, flag, and delete. So, yeah. Yeah, I had no idea that those were there. None whatsoever. Love it. This is why we do the quick tips. Yeah.
Right.
Did you know about any of these options? I don't even think I knew they were there on iOS in the Reminders app.
Right.
And I'm assuming they are, but I will look.
I don't use the Reminders app enough. I think that's my problem.
It's interesting. I can indent if I swipe to the right on the iOS app.
Oh.
And I can't swipe the top reminder to the right. So that's really interesting. Fascinating. Yeah.
All right. And thusly more frustrating.
Yep. And I can see I created a reminders list called A Lady To Do's that was supposed to sync these over. And it is happily empty. So however I thought I wired it up, I got it wrong. But we've got a geek challenge floating out there. So we'll get there at some point.
Well, there's that.
Yep. You want to take us to, I think we're done with quick tips, guys.
We are. I think it's time for Don't Get Caught. And we've got three catches this week, as it were. Yeah. So Dan writes in and says, hello, guys. I've had two Apple IDs for a long time. Again, a thematic thing going from last week. One used only for iTunes and purchases. My iTunes account was old enough to just be a username. Now they require an email address. And as you recently discussed, Apple added the ability to migrate purchases from one account to another, essentially merging the accounts. So I did so, and everything went well. At about the same time, my wife's phone battery started to be drained up to three times a day. We assumed it was a recent system update, so we went through the typical troubleshooting and settings changes, but nothing helped. We set up a Genius Bar appointment, which only pointed out that the podcast app was sucking up a lot of battery time. He suggested deleting and reinstalling the app in case something was glitching in the system. That did not help. But in the process, I remembered that my wife uses my iTunes account for podcasts and music. That was the account I migrated my purchases from, which effectively closed it. I had changed the settings on all of my devices, but not hers. So the battery drain was the podcast app continually trying to update, but not being able to do so. So don't get caught like I did. Damn. It's like, oh, man, no kidding.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was easy for, say, people at the Genius Bar or like-minded customers to be able to see logs from an app and on the iPhone and therefore easily be able to say, hey, wait, I see what's happening here.
That's
nice?
Like a full-on fish shake.
It is. That's a John F. Braun fish shake. That's right.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's almost blind luck that they figured out that that was what it was.
Yeah, I mean, seeing the battery usage, that's, you know, a smart troubleshooting step to go through and see, you know, where. But then from there, it was like, well, uninstall and reinstall. Yeah. But why? Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I like it. John, listener John, says, I found that my mail count in my dock was wrong. And then I looked in mail customized notifications on my iPhone and found that it only counts primary emails if I have the groupings enabled. Just remember to check all mail plus junk for missing emails. Yes, that's right. You can set it on the iPhone that your badge count is either all unread messages or unread messages in primary. So, good catch, John. Don't get caught. You got to know what you don't know, which is super difficult. Here we are.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Adam.
I know we're not on quick tips anymore.
Yeah, you got one?
Well, related to what you were just saying about analytics or logs on iOS.
Yeah.
I Googled it.
You can see them, right? They are buried there somewhere, right?
I did not know this. I mean, I don't know how detailed or how they are, but if you go into settings, privacy and security, scroll way down to the bottom, there's something called analytics and improvements, and then there's analytics data. And I can see Carrot Weather, and I can see...
Yeah. I forgot about this.
All kinds of data.
Right.
So.
And you can pull this stuff out with the console app, if I'm not mistaken, on your Mac.
Yeah.
But maybe. You can also take it and just share the file, too. Like, there's a share sheet on each of these files. All right, so settings, privacy and security, analytics and improvements, analytics data, and you will see all kinds of things. It's weird. They are, well, maybe it's not weird. They're alphabetically organized and then sorted by, well, it's sorted by file name, so it's alphabetical by name and then date. But yeah, if you had a problem with the podcast app, you could go look and see what it's doing. Huh.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know exactly what data is in there, you know, but it's just another interesting bit of information that may be helpful. I don't know.
They look like crash logs from the Mac, but I'm not seeing them as they're not all just crashes. Like there was, you know, the event on one of these on Maps was high CPU usage, right? 90 seconds CPU overtime because it used 107 seconds at 84% average CPU, exceeding the limit of 50% CPU over 180 seconds. So it's like, okay, great. Like that's the reason this log file was dropped. But I bet in the case of Dan, there would have been a log file there, just like I therefore must retract my snarky comment and fish shake because exactly what I wanted is right there. But I will replace it with a fish shake. Why are Genius Bar employees not taught to look for this?
Right.
I'm glad we all know now. And if you're a Genius Bar employee and this is the first time you've learned of it, awesome. Now you can use this. I know we have a lot of you listening to this show and learning things from this show that perhaps aren't in the instruction manual that you get from your employer, and we're happy to help because it helps everybody. So it's all good.
Share it with your colleagues.
Share it with your colleagues. You can get logs on iOS. Yes.
To include the whole show, share the whole show with your colleagues.
Yes, please do. Please do. Yeah.
Do great. It now.
Yeah. All right. One last don't get caught, right, Pete?
There is indeed. I recently upgraded to the new 13-inch M4 iPad Pro, ooh, and it came with 3 free months of Apple Music. I'm not a current subscriber, and I used the link in the settings to claim my 3 months free. Where I got caught is that I still have two separate Apple IDs from before family sharing, where I have one account for iCloud and another for the store and Apple Music. The 3 month promo was apparently linked to my iCloud user account and not my Apple Store user account. So instead of getting 3 months free, I got charged for a month to month subscription. Apple support was able to quickly address the issue and refund the charge, but it's something to be aware of. If you still have the legacy 2 account approach with Apple, don't get caught, but buy the trial offers. So thank you for a great podcast and Reddit channel, Bart from Houston, Texas. Thanks for that.
I'm guessing he means a Discord channel, but if we have a Reddit channel, somebody please let me know.
There you go. Well,
I don't know. Maybe there might be one.
Reddit's written in there, but do we have a Reddit channel? Woohoo!
Maybe.
Discord. That would be it. So yeah, but this has been thematic for a couple weeks now. Both the mail categories and the multiple accounts.
Yeah.
So Apple added to the confusion when they meant to solve it. Hey folks, don't get caught without enough ports. Look, if you're stuck waiting on slow connections, the brand new OWC Thunderbolt 5 hub is here, and it's the best way to expand your Mac, iPad Pro, or even your PC, for those of you yet to see the light. This isn't just another hub. It's future-proofed power and speed. With Thunderbolt 5, you get blazing fast 80 gigabits per second of bidirectional data transfer. Need even more bandwidth? It cranks up to 120 gigabits per second for high-resolution displays and demanding workflows. And forget about single-chain limitations. This hub supports three independent daisy chains. Count them, three. That means you can add and remove devices from one chain without knocking out the others. Power users, you listen up. This beast delivers 140 watts of charging, enough to keep even the most power-hungry notebooks running at full tilt. And displays? Oh yeah, hook up 4K, 5K, 6K, or even three 8K monitors all at once. It's Thunderbolt certified, built with OWC's legendary reliability, and 100% compatible with Thunderbolt 5, 4, 3, USB 4, and USB-C. Plus, no fans, no noise, just silently cool performance. Don't get caught without dated tech. Upgrade now. The OWC Thunderbolt 5 hub is available at MacSales.com. Head over today and check out all the details and make sure your setup is ready for today's power and tomorrow's speed.
All right. There's a new iPhone this week, last week. 16E.
Is that E for expensive? I'm sorry.
No, it's actually not as expensive.
No,
but it's not inexpensive. I mean, it's no. You know,
they ain't giving it away.
No, but what's weird is to save $200, right? But the iPhone 16e is $200 less than the iPhone 16, but there are some features that it does not have that I think are important to bear with, to bear in mind, rather, while you are considering this. The two big ones to me are that it doesn't have MagSafe. You can Qi charge it,
right?
But it doesn't have MagSafe. And I guess there's enough people out there that don't use MagSafe with their iPhones that there's a market for this. I mean, I would trust that Apple knows this, but man, it seems like to me that would be a non-starter.
Yeah, so many device cases and accessories and things leverage and use that. That seems like but I guess, I mean, maybe if you're more the person that just plugs in and charges more too, like
yeah.
Maybe you don't even need the. I mean, if you're going to go that far, why not just take the Qi out of it?
That's the part that surprised me. It's like, wait, and it took me a minute to understand. Well, if it has Qi and it's not MagSafe, that means it just does 7.5 watts and not 15. And as I dug deeper, it's like, yes, that is true. And also, it doesn't have the magnets. So,
yeah. So you can knock it off. It's Qi and not get your charge without even realizing it. That's the worst of it.
Yeah, it's slightly less bright. There's a great chart that Mac Rumors put together to show the difference between the 16E and its slightly older brothers, siblings, I should say. Slightly less bright. The glass back is plain. The colors are different. Does not have camera control. It only has one camera. There are not two cameras like there are on the 16, nor are there three lenses, like there are on the Pro. So it's the one thing, and it cannot do the wide angle stuff. So, and it doesn't have dynamic island. It just has a notch. I'm not sure. Yeah. It just seems weird. But it does have an A18 chip, so it can do Apple Intelligence, and that's, you know, I think the key. So
yeah, that's, I mean, that's good.
Yep. Yep. So I, you know, but it starts at $5.99 instead of $7.99. And so there you go. Yep. Pete, were you trying to say something while your microphone was muted, my friend? I think
I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said yes. So I thought you heard me.
Interesting. Love that.
I said, yeah, the, they put the, Apple C1 modem chip, its own modem chip,
oh,
in
yeah.
there as well. So they're switching from the Broadcom chip to the Apple C1 for its Wi-Fi connectivity. I don't know if that'll help or hurt.
Is that for Wi-Fi or is that I thought that was for cellular connections. It has the Apple C1 instead of the Qualcomm X75. That's
Snapdragon. I understood it to be a Wi-Fi connectivity. It could be the cellular.
So regardless of the manufacturer of the chip, there are some differences. It does not have 5G Ultra capability with whatever the modem is that it uses. And then it only has Wi-Fi 6, not Wi-Fi 7, and no ultra wideband chip for the precision finding either. So it really, I was excited that this iPhone 16e, I mean, before I saw the rumors that were pretty solid that it had a 6.1 inch screen, but I was hoping that it might be, you know, small, like the iPhone 13 mini might be coming back, but no.
Right. Nope. There are people that do want small phones.
Same. I am one of them. Yeah. I've always liked the small phones. But it's just not, it's not the world I get to live in.
That ultra wideband is cool. They enabled us to find each other at CES.
Yes. Many times.
You're in a large crowded room. You go, oh, where's Dave? Oh, he's 80 feet that way. All right.
Yeah. I did it with Lisa. I needed to find her when we were in Mexico shortly after we were at CES. We went to this thing. It was a sticker exchange because it was for fish concerts. And so people make stickers and then they, you know, we hand them out. But it just becomes this massive swarm of humanity in a relatively tight place while we're doing this. And I was like, all right, I'm done. I got to find Lisa now. And it was like, I know how to do this. And it worked even in a massive swarm of humanity. So
isn't that wild?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And it's all just in the Find My app. If you haven't seen this yet, try to find someone that is relatively close to you, proximity wise, not like a family member or a loved one. It could be one of those, but I meant close in the physical sense. And it will navigate you. It will tell them you are navigating to them, though.
Yes, that was my next thing. I think it alerts them. Hey, you know, Dave's looking for you.
Yes.
So you know to hide. I mean,
yeah, Dave's tracking you right now. Yeah. Well, right. Either way. So, I mean, there's a safety concern. And then there's also heads up. Like maybe you can help. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yupper.
All right.
Shall we go to questions here?
Questions. Yep. Yeah. Let's do it. Gary wrote in and says, do any of you use or recommend advanced data protection on the iPhone?
My first.
Sure.
I have never turned it on. I have never, ever used it. Yeah, no.
I'll go second. Same. And my reason is, as soon as it came out and people started turning it on, they couldn't get into their phones. They couldn't do things. It's like, yeah, I don't like it. We talk about the continuum that exists between ultimate convenience and ultimate security. And this obviously notches you closer to the latter, the ultimate security, which is not a bad thing, but at the expense of like not being able to get into my phone or not being able to do things. That's just not. That's not a convenience I'm willing to give up.
Right.
I mean, I understand it. Like, you know, I could have all brick walls on my houses with no doors or windows and no one else could get in, including me. So, you know, I choose to have doors and windows for a variety of reasons.
I said I turned it on and then turned it off, and I had confused that with the anti-theft and I forget what that feature is called now, but it would never recognize my home as my home.
Yeah.
And so if I had to make a change, I had to wait an hour. You know what I'm talking about? That feature. that if you want to make changes to your iCloud account or your phone, it's essentially theft protection for your phone. So someone can't take your phone and start making changes.
Okay.
If they're outside a known area, like your phone, like your home or your workplace, and it would never recognize my home as my home, even though it was there an awful lot of the time.
Is that not the same thing that we're talking about here?
Yep. Is it the same? Okay, maybe I did turn it on, and I thought I had confused it, because as I read through what all the advanced data protection is, it takes away the keys from Apple, so even if they do get a subpoena, there's nothing they can do but provide encrypted data, that sort of thing. So
this is different from what Pete did previously. Is that right, Adam? Or is it the same thing? It's the same thing.
I think, this is the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, advanced data protection for iCloud is an optional setting that offers Apple's highest level of cloud data security. If you choose to enable advanced data protection, this is from Apple's website, the majority of your iCloud data, including iCloud backups, photos, notes, and more, is protected using end-to-end encryption, and no one else can access your end-to-end encryption encrypted data, not even Apple. So, it takes the keys away from Apple, because most of your regular iCloud services, I think we've talked about this and probably a majority of our listeners know, is end-to-end encrypted. So it doesn't change that. What it changes is access. Basically, like Pete said, the keys are going to be in your hands, not Apple's hands.
Yeah.
And nobody else but them. And like you said, the government can't be subpoenaed. So interesting thing from Dr. Dream, and I just looked at this, breaking news. If you're in the UK, you no longer get the option of using advanced data protection. Apple has pulled the feature because of regulations and laws changing over there regarding government access to data, basically.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yep. Yep.
Well, I mean, they're just doing what they have to do to comply.
This isn't Apple's.
No, that was more of a political that's nice than a... Than an Apple.
We don't go
that's
there.
Nice.
Remember, Pete? We had this conversation.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Whoops.
No judgment on it. It's just a thing. And
in order to comply with laws in the UK, Apple had to take this feature away from people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just how it be. Yep.
I mean, amazing. UK people also is it siloading that got approved alternate app stores, right?
Yes.
Which we don't get.
Yeah. So not here.
That might be a feature I might want.
I would think if that became available to the US market, it would change so many things. Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
It would be a security issue, I think, more than anything, right? But then
that's what Apple
believes.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Keeps you in the walled garden.
Correct.
Okay. Well, fair. Well, and then assuming that you're on a phone that needs that sort of security for your organization, then it's going to be managed under a work as an organizational.
Yeah. I mean,
if it's big enough for that.
The reason I say I don't share that concern is because I have a Mac in front of me. And I am running, and so do you, Pete. And we wouldn't be doing this show.
Look at that, I do.
With apps.
It's right there.
That only came from the App Store.
Fair enough, yeah.
But and the other side of that, though, is Apple has managed it on the Mac. Like, if I want to lock down my Mac and restrict myself to only App Store apps and have tighter security, I can choose to do that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Just like people in the UK can choose to do. It's the same functionality, just on the iPhone in addition to the Mac. Yeah. No, this is, unless compelled to do it legally, Apple is happy to ensure that all purchases that happen in an app store on the iPhone go through their payment processing
and
line
their pockets. That's right. They're always happy to take your money.
Well, again,
it's fine.
All balance and all these things. I mean, I have some Apple stock in my retirement plan, and I'm glad that Apple.
Same.
That.
Yes, exactly. Right. 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 Yeah. Like, it just is. It's I don't judge Apple for making that decision. I wish there was a world where I had that flexibility, but I understand why I don't. and to be clear, this is every time I buy an iPhone, it is an eyes wide open decision. I am fully aware of what I'm choosing to do. Now, I've said it once on the show, I've said it at home, my family's starting to get worried about it. And perhaps, understandably, if Apple can't get the AI thing down to where I can have a conversation with my phone while I'm driving using the native AI stuff, I'm going to move to a phone where I can do that, because it's a pain in the neck. All they need to do is enable CarPlay for ChatGPT, and they will save at least one customer, because I had a conversation the other night with ChatGPT on the way to a gig, and actually on the way to a rehearsal, and it was amazing. I told it, we're going through some things, we're adding some shows to the Backbeat portfolio here, or to our Backbeat Network family, and I was having it help me identify some shows that might be good. And then I said, all right, great. We've identified these 10 shows. We've narrowed it down. We went back and forth for 20 minutes, narrowing it all down. And then I said, awesome. Can you research and find who is representing them for their advertising now? And it said, yes, that's going to take some time. What's your timeline on this? And I said, oh, can you have it ready by 10 a.m. tomorrow morning? And it said, sure. Sure enough, at 10 a.m., before 10 a.m. the next day, it had fleshed out that thing with a list that it did on its own. I asked it, do I need to leave this session open? It's like, no, you can come back to this. It's all, I got you. And it got me. Once I started doing this, there was no closing that box. And Apple is totally foobarring this rollout of AI so far.
Yeah.
So far. There's my rant. Thank you.
All right.
Well, and it does say, do you want me to use ChatGPT?
Yeah, but you can't have an interactive conversation with it.
No, that's correct. That's correct.
You get one shot. You get to use ChatGP because the T part is the transformative part, where you get to interact with the results and transform them in collaboration with the engine. And the T, for me, is the most valuable part. I had a conversation, it was with John Efron on Twitter, where he was saying, oh, ChatGPT gets it wrong. He did a vanity search, tell me about John Efron. And it told him some accurate things. And then it said, in 2022, John passed away or something, which obviously didn't happen. and so it's wrong. I'm like, right. And did you ask it, at the very least, did you ask it, are you sure? And he's like, no, I stopped there. It's like, well, you're using ChatGP. You got to use the T. That's where the value is. So Apple's current implementation baked in with Siri takes the T away. Give me my T, Siri. Give me my T.
Right. I want my T back.
Siri, I want my T back.
Yeah.
Anyway, shall we keep going here? Carlos has a question.
All right.
You don't have anything you want to add to that, Adam?
No, we're good.
Good. Carlos has a question. He has a network share on his Synology drive, and connects to it. He can connect to it in the web interface, of course, to see it directly on the Synology, but also he connects to it as a network share in the Finder. And he's connecting with SMB, not AFP. So he's doing all the things by it, the advice and guidance that everybody gives, including Apple. And there are some files in the Finder that don't appear all the time. And we've been trying to figure this out. He says, sometimes I can, if I keep a window open in the dock, that seems to keep the files from disappearing. But once I close the window, when I reopen it, some, but not all files are there. He has a folder with iTunes movies that has 1,134 items. But the other day, the Finder said it had 935. And then his Plex server, which runs on his Mac, reading the share from the Synology, does not see it. So it's not just the Finder. It is these files are not either not being exposed to his Mac, or his Mac is doing some weird filtering that's keeping the full list of files from coming down. Fascinating to me. I know. He's tried doing all the things in the Synology where you deselect SMB2 and only use SMB3 or only use SMB2. You can drive yourself nuts going through it. And there are other people that have reported seeing the same thing with macOS Sequoia. macOS 15. So I don't have an answer for this. My question would start with if I was there, what would I do next? And my first I do next would be try another user account and see what it does on the same Mac. And then if it's consistent, try a second Mac if you've got one or can have a friend come over with one.
I'm assuming, I'm not a super SMB expert, but I'm assuming there's, with SMB, there's some sort of indexing or index or something.
Probably a local cache, right? Of something. Yep.
Like an index file, maybe. I would assume it would be stored on the Synology. Could like something like that be becoming like corrupted and just need like a rebuild or something like that?
There is a thing on Synology called Universal Search. And I know that you can expose that to over SMB somehow to the Finder so that when you do a search in the Finder on your Synology, it's not just combing through your Mac isn't combing through all the data. It's sending the request to the Synology and getting the results back. So maybe rebuilding that universal search database, whatever it is on the Synology, might be a fix, or turning that option off so that it's not exposing that and the Mac is just doing all the grunt work and treating it like a dumb share, if you would.
The other thing, I mean, I would think this wouldn't happen with a NAS, right? Because you've got multiple disks. But could it be a sign of a disk that's potentially starting to have trouble?
I mean, maybe, but I would think if that was the case, it would also show those missing files at times anyway on the disk station itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like trying to think through anything that I would like possibly troubleshoot. And to me, it seems most likely either some sort of index on, I don't know if the Mac for performance, like you're saying, cache or something keeps an index of stuff because you are accessing network shares. So it's like, is that maybe at one point it had that many files and that's what it saw? And so now it's just giving you the cache really quick and it's not picking up the additional stuff for some reason.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like maybe it's in that, and then that maybe points to some sort of weird networking thing. Like maybe it's just taking a really long time for it to like update itself.
Patience. More patience than should be granted here, but some level of patience. Yeah, because the fact that once it's doing it right, leaving the window open,
right,
that you might be onto something here. I didn't conflate these things until just now. I was using YTDLP, which is a way of grabbing like a YouTube video and saving it locally. It's a terminal command to do, like to your point earlier, Pete, it's probably the terminal command that's underneath all of the, or many of the, you know, graphical apps that will go grab a YouTube thing. So I was grabbing a thing and my connection, and I was doing it from my Mac running macOS 15, saving to a network share on my Synology. So swimming in similar waters here. It would fail every single time. It would download, you know, some amount of it and then die. And when it died, I lost the connection to the disk station temporarily. And it would come back. I didn't have to do anything to make it come back. But when it did come back, I had to re-go to that directory. So it's, you know, volumes, movies, wherever I was saving it. I gave up on that and came up to the studio, which is still running macOS 14, ran the same commands, and it worked flawlessly the first time, each time. So maybe there is just some issue with macOS 15 connecting to Synology shares, and we're seeing two different symptoms of it. I didn't think much of it. I thought, well, who knows? I just got to reboot or, you know, something weird going on with this computer. Did not think about the difference between the two operating systems. So maybe there's something there. I don't know. I think you're doing. The look on your face tells me you're cogitating on something, Adam. Do you have?
No, I'm trying to understand I was going back to review the email because what I was trying to think of was because I remembered he had said something about Plex also not seeing these files.
Yep.
So that puts it back more on the Synology side than I think on the Mac side potentially, but I don't know where.
No, Plex is running. He's running Plex on his Mac, not on his Synology.
Okay, it is on the Mac.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was reading through that and then I was looking at the data path that he's using and I realized it probably doesn't matter and it's probably just because that's how it's set up on the Synology. Yeah. But the fact that he's mentioning iTunes and I'm like,
oh, yeah, my folder
used iTunes it like for forever. Like,
my folder
why is it iTunes
on the Synology is named iTunes. And I think even on one of my Macs that I've just migration assistanted my way along is still iTunes. Yeah. 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 So.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
If you have thoughts on this, feedback at MacGeekGab.com.
Yeah, you heard it. Feedback at MacGeekGab.com.
That's right. Feedback at MacGeekGab.com.
Yeah. Did you have something to add to this, Pete?
Actually, yeah, I do. You grazed, glazed, glanced. You shot right past something.
Okay.
And it's kind of a quick tip, cool stuff found. YT-DLP.
Oh yeah, I sure did.
Is a terminal command, and it looks like I could be wrong. So I was trying to download something from a website that's a pay site that I paid for the video, and they said, "Hey, this video is going away," and I'm like, "I don't have time to watch it before Tuesday. Can I download it?" And PolTube would not download it, and I'm wondering if YTDLP. It looks like there's ways to pipe your username and password and all that in there, and maybe able to grab it. So
that's why I use this. This was a private video shared by. It was a video of a gig I did, and it was shared with all of us, and so. So I wanted to save it for posterity, and that's what I did. Yeah.
So. That's very cool. And I asked ChatGPT to, explain it to me. And it says, here's how to do it. Here's how to get your username and password in and all that. So it looks like it's a pretty powerful little command.
Yeah. Oh, it's YTDLP is great. Yeah, I love it. I'm curious to see. Yeah. YTDL. If you use. So there's another terminal command I'm going to tell you about because you wanted the kind of quick and dirty. If I may, the TLDR of how to use this terminal command, but any others, there is a terminal command and that you can also install with brew. YTDLP also not native to the Mac. So you got to brew space, install YTDLP. Okay. And the same with this command called TLDR. But what TLDR does is it gives you the TLDR of how to use a command in the terminal. So I just typed TLDR space YTDLP and away we go. So there's links to both of these things in the show. What do we have time for here? We have for one more thing. Adam, you want to read Ian's? I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I'm with you. I guess it depends on how you're feeling that day, if you're an Ian or an Ian.
There you go.
Me thinks it's Ian.
I think it's Ian, too. Ian says, in the most recent episode, you were discussing utilizing screen time for managing kids' devices. I utilize this on all my kids' devices. Within a managed device, you are able to lock contacts to only specific people that are in the contact app for communication with, and you can lock it down so that additional contacts can't be added. I've done this to communication only. I think he's saying, so communication is only happening with known people. Screen time has a huge list of settings that can really be used to lock a device to only allow specific usage as the parent or guardian wants to allow and prevent settings from being changed. Not sure if it's part of the iCloud family or not, but I can also manage settings for my children on my devices. Is there a question in here?
No, it was just a follow-up for last week. Yeah, because you were talking about parental controls. So, Yeah.
I think where this is probably coming into play was I wasn't sure if limiting the contacts app actually limited like the ability to like dial in the phone app to specific people, which I don't think it does. I think you could still like phone call out, but maybe that controls messaging at least.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep. Makes sense. Makes sense. We have one more follow-up, and this might be the end of the episode. We have a bunch of cool stuff found we want to go through, so
yeah,
I think we're going to start next week with some cool stuff found, or at least a focus on it. In the meantime, Ben shares that in the last episode, we were talking about how email was, Comcast email specifically, was being trashed immediately and trying to find it out. And listener Ben wrote in and said, a client experienced this precise issue. And I think the origin may have been the breach that Comcast suffered last year, as I believe many users had their accounts hacked. A hacker probably created a rule on the user's webmail that moved all received messages to the trash. Once I deleted this rule, their mail flowed normally. So hopefully, listener from the last show followed that advice and found that same rule. But yeah, that's
a bad rule.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone. It would even be difficult to accidentally go into the web interface and create that rule. Like, that doesn't sound like I just was messing around to see what would happen. Like, no.
And I wound up changing my Etsy host file.
Yeah, exactly.
This comes back to, like, I mean, I guess it's just kids messing around or being jerks or whatever. Like, I often don't understand certain kinds of hacks. Like, what is the point of that? It's just to frustrate somebody because that's funny? Yeah. I mean, like, there's no end game. There's no benefit to the hacker for doing that unless they're just pissed at Comcast and they want them to get that's it. They want a bunch of customer support calls. It's always fascinating to me, like, different hacks. Like,
oh, that's interesting.
I always try to figure out, like, what is the motivation behind that? Like, because I always assume that the end goal would be to somehow financially gain, like, make money.
Right.
But maybe that's obviously not always it. I think there's a lot of people that just are like, I'm just going to mess with people, or I'm angry at this company and I'm just going to screw up their systems and cost them money. So that, I guess, there's a lot of
money. Digitally egging Comcast's house.
So this is a dynamically distributed customer service attack.
Yeah.
I mean, right. In a sense, right. Yeah. You know, like that's the one way of thinking of it, but
we're going to F their business. Cause I'm angry at Comcast.
Cause I'm mad
might
at
be
them.
One, but,
yep.
Yeah.
I agree with you in my, you know, middle-aged brain goes to, what's the financial gain for this? But if I think back to, you know, my teenage brain when I was learning how to mess with all this stuff and probably doing
because
some things
I can
upset people, it was a because I can. Yeah, that was the first part. And it wasn't, there was rarely a nefarious intent, even though we were probably doing some things that wound up upsetting people, and I'll speak carefully, but then once you learn how to do that, it's like, well, if somebody upset me, well, I have skills, you know. And I remember, I never did this, but I remember somebody, it happened many times, in fact, that upset, you know, one of us in the circle of what I'll call script kiddies. And they would just go and turn their electricity off, you know, because they knew how to do that. We all knew how to do that. That was more social engineering than anything else. But, it's like, oh, well, I've messed around for years. I've learned all these fun little things just for the sake of learning them. And then somebody would upset someone. And it's like, oh, yeah, I know how to do that. I'm going to go. So that sounds like what this is. It's like, oh yeah, I've known how to hack into Comcast for a long time. Now they upset me. Now I'm going to go do this. I think that's it. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. All right. The motives of script kiddies.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
They're not patently obvious.
No, but they're usually pretty simple. Occam's razor comes.
Right.
Exactly, right?
Yep.
Occam's razor. Killed Schrodinger's cat, you know.
That's what I heard. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. Remember our monthly giveaway? You, too, can win a copy of CCC Backup from Bombic at macgeekab.com/giveaway. Thanks to Bombic for doing that with us. And thanks to you for signing up. It's always great. We love to be able to do these giveaways for you. We've got, well, the one that's coming up for March, might be happening too slowly. So I've got another idea. There's always folks that want to give stuff away. So we'll see what happens for March. It's going to be fun. And April might be fun, too. In fact, they all should be fun. Thanks to CashFly for providing all the bandwidth that gets the show from us to you. Make sure to check out Pete's other show. So There I Was. For aviation enthusiasts, Adam's other show, the Debut Film Podcast. And my other shows, Business Brain and Gig Gab for musicians. You can check all those links are in our show notes at MacGeekGab.com. And while you're there, sign up for the email so that you always get the show notes in your mailbox. And you can click on all the links of all the products and tips and tricks that we mention. Please go leave us a review. MacGeekGab.com/review. We'd love that. Oh, I feel like we made it. Oh, wait. Adam, since
yes.
since I kept you from singing that song right after I said that, I'm sure it was in your head. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah. Don't get caught.
Made on a Mac. See ya.
Later.